How have you guys enjoyed the different speakers here? Aren't you glad that we have people who can open the Word of God? Ray, I heard you did an awesome job. I know we've got different ones coming along here, and I'll figure out something to say by next week.
Amen.
Yes, right. Rightly dividing. Here's how you do it. Here's how you rightly divide the Word of God. You let it rightly divide you.
Amen.
And as it cuts into you, you go, okay, there you go. So, anyway, thank you, buddy. This is Nick Haywood.
Good morning.
My son in love.
Good morning. That's my dad. Love you, man. So, a few weeks back, we began a series on soul care. And our first sermon was called Soul Care, Guard Your Heart. And we were learning about how everything we do in our life springs from our heart. And we have to protect ourselves with rest. And then Pastor brought an amazing word the following week and was explaining that there's rest in the names of the Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord. And so part of caring for soul is understanding who your maker is, who your God is, and how we can call out to him to rescue us. And then last week, it's hard to call you Pastor Ray. I want to call you Daddy Ray. Last week, Daddy Ray brought an awesome sermon. He says, what? A plank in my eye? And we realized that, you know, no matter how much soul care you get, you're not going to feel good if you're judging others and worrying all the time. So you're going to have to renew your mind. And so this week, our fourth in this series is Soul Care, Guard Your Time. Soul Care, Guard Your Time. And it's fun when you get to talk to Jesus because sometimes he tells you things. Well, not sometimes. He always tells you things you had no idea about. So I said, Lord, I ask you to give me a passage for this message. And he brought me to a passage that I never really thought of for this context before. And it was the part where Jesus is out in the Sea of Galilee, and he rebukes the wind and the waves. And so I was like, all right, Lord, that's cool. I have no idea what that has to do with guarding your time. And then he unfolded it all. And so it was really neat. So what we want to do this morning, we're going to ancient Israel. It's about the year 30-31 AD, and Jesus has begun his ministry. And in Israel, you know, it's so easy to read the Bible and think of everything as spiritual, and we forget about a lot of the physicality. Jesus was both God and man, and so we forget that, you know, this part of his human nature. And that's the part that we want to connect to today, because we actually need him to teach us how to be human when it comes to exhaustion. And ministry, actually. So, Lord Jesus, we just ask you to speak to us in your word. We love you so much. We glorify you. Thank you for calming the seas of our lives and teaching us how to do so. Amen. So, of the four Gospels, there are three that talk about this moment in time where Jesus was out on the Sea of Galilee and he rebuked the wind and the waves. So everybody but John talks about this time. And so it's neat because if anything of consequence happened here today, we'd each have a different perspective. So it's really neat because we can hear three different people telling us what they saw that day. And so the day starts pretty early. We're in the city of Capernaum. We're in the northern part of the Sea of Galilee. And just to put things in context, I'm a visual person. The Sea of Galilee is about 8 miles wide and 13 miles long. Okay? So it's a pretty big lake. It's such a large lake, they call it a sea. But technically, it's a lake. Okay, so you're in a pretty big lake with the kind of boats which had sails and oars that they were using back then. You know, it'd probably take a good, I don't know, 2 to 4 hours to cross the Sea of Galilee. Okay, so we're in the north. We're in Capernaum. Jesus has just begun. Luke tells us Jesus had just chosen his 12. So he found his guys. He found his buddies. And there's also a group of women following him. And it says specifically that these are women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. And these beautiful women who are all cleansed and healed and following Jesus around are actually the people, this is so cool and so scandalous, they're the people who are actually providing for Jesus and his disciples out of their means. Some of these ladies were actually rich and married to other wealthy people. So it's pretty cool. We've got this crowd gathering around him. Early in that day, or maybe the day before, Jesus goes to his friend's house, and his friend's mom is sick. And Jesus rebukes a fever off of her, and she serves them a bunch of good food. So they've eaten a nice meal. But really, the crowds are starting to learn about this teacher. The crowds are starting to really press in on him. And so each of these, two of these three people tell us, actually, no, all three, sorry, all three of these men, Matthew, Luke, and Mark, each tell us about the crowds. It's all about the crowds gathering in on him. So Jesus is trying to teach in Capernaum, and there's so many people gathering in on him that he actually says, hey, guys, put me in the boat. He gets in the ship, and they go 5-10 feet away from the shore because people are, like, pressing in on him, right? So he's doing two things here. He gets in the edge of the boat, and he starts teaching the people in parables. Number one, he's given himself a 5 or 10 foot space between people and himself. I'm sure little kids started wading in, and you know they always, get me closer, get me closer. But number two, we learned in Israel with Pastor, we learned actually that that's a natural amplification. So he just created a little auditorium for everybody here. How cool is that? Because you know he made water, and he made sound. So he was like, oh yeah, if I get in the ship, use the ocean, the sea here to bounce and reverberate the sound waves to everybody. So it's pretty cool. He figured out a way to talk to everybody could hear. I just thought, he's so fun. Thank you, Lord. So he's speaking in parables. He's talking about the parable of the sower. And he's sowing, the sower goes and sows the seed. Some falls on the path. Some falls in rocky ground, shallow ground. Some with weeds and some into good soil. And we realize, okay, he's starting to teach his disciples. Because he speaks in parables to the crowds, but he's starting to teach his disciples, hey, this message isn't going to work for everybody, right? Because they're probably getting pretty excited about the crowd. They're getting excited about their king. They're getting excited about winning and taking over. And he's already starting to plant seeds in their hearts that, hey, this isn't about that. Yeah, there's 3,000 people here today. We don't know how many are actually going to respond to this word. So then, it's been a long day. It says in one account in Mark, it says, that same day in the evening. Now, you have to understand that wording. It's about 3 to 5 p.m., and to understand that, we have to know that the Jews see the calendar as a day ends at sunset. Okay? So when the sun has gone below the horizon, the new day has begun. So when Mark says that same day in the evening, that wording means about 3 to 5 p.m. It's right before dusk. It's in the afternoon. He's been teaching all day. I think the guys are tired. They're hungry. One account tells us that, two accounts actually tell us that his mother and brothers tried to see him. This is all happening like at the same time. I mean, all these stories that we have in our hearts are all just converging in this one moment. It's been a long day, right? His mother and brothers are trying to see him. And he says the classic line, you know, my mother and brothers are those that do the will of God. Okay? Now, even though we teach about how what that means, I think we forget that he's a guy. I think he missed his mom and brothers that day. We know later in their lives that they are the people who, not because of their bloodline, but because they believe in him and die for him, that even after he lives on this planet, those are his mother and brothers because they believed in him. So there's a tenderness there that he misses them. And as they're pushing out in the boat, a scribe runs up to him. It says, as he's pushing away, a scribe runs up and says, Jesus, I'll follow you anywhere. And Jesus says, foxes have holes, have dens, and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And then another man comes up, let me follow you. I just have to go bury my father. He says, let the dead bury their own dead. And the man can't undo that. And they push off. Jesus is tired. He's so tired. He's been teaching all day. We don't know for sure when the last time he ate was, okay? He just told somebody, I don't have anywhere to live. Another account tells us that there's multiple boats. So yeah, there's not just 12 and 3 women and 5 other people all in one ship. There's a few different boats around him. And he falls asleep in the stern, which is the back of the ship. And then all hell breaks loose, literally. So Jesus, have you ever felt like Jesus kind of fallen asleep in your life? You're like, okay, Lord, we were going down this road together, got married, got a big job, had some kids, and then you fell asleep. Where are you? The wind and the waves. Yeah, we feel like that. But actually today I want you to imagine being more like him instead of him in your life. He's not asleep. He loves you. But the reality is, I think when the wind and the waves come against us, we think he's checked out, and he hasn't. We just need to go engage with him, okay? So you've been hearing all of this from Luke, Matthew, and Mark. Let's look at the first thing that we're learning about guarding our time. To understand this 1 to 4 hours in the ship that Jesus has, you have to then fast forward and understand what he does on the other side of the sea. So before we talk about the wind and the waves, let's fast forward. He goes to the other side of the sea after rebuking the wind and the waves, and we get over there. And all three tell us the first thing that happened. I mean, the ship hits the the dirt. And the first thing that happens is the demon-possessed man who's naked, who's been chained and broken out of chains his whole life, who has a legion of demons inside of him, a crazy, wild, demon-possessed man greets them, and they can't even pass. They can't even get into this new region. Now, remember, they left around 3 to 5. Takes 1 to 4 hours. At best, it's dusk. More likely, it's dark. This is kind of a spooky story, right? Some demon-possessed dude comes running up at you. None shall pass. You know, none shall pass. And they're just like, oh my God, Jesus, what do we do? It's dark outside, maybe a little dusk. Wait a minute. The sleep in the boat, that was critical, right? He already knows what's coming on the other side of the lake. He knows he's got a whole nother event over there. There's no easy pie over there. No one's waiting to hug them all and make them, you know, quiche. There's no quiche on the other side of the lake. There's a demon dude trying to kill him, trying to push him back in the water or something. So to understand that Jesus has this like 1 to 4 hours in the ship, and so he's being really strategic by sleeping. It's actually like strategic, and I love it because one account tells us he found a cushion. Because he said the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head. And he found a cushion in the back of the ship. And you better believe it. He was like, oh, pillow. Because he's a man. Yes, he's fully God. He's a man. So the first thing we're learning is that when rest finally comes, you have to take it. When your best friend, Ray, and your daughter in the faith, Amanda, and your son-in-law, Nick, tell you that they can handle it for a week, you go on a cruise. It's what you do. You just go take it. You get it done. So when rest finally comes, you have to take it. There's this kind of proactiveness about it. There's a quote, work fills all available time. Ooh. How many men have lost their families because work fills all available time? They want to be that guy, 6 or 6 or 7 or 8, the superstar on the team. Well, there'll be something for you to do till 8. If you want to stay till 8, we'll find something for you to do. Go to your house. I promise there's dirt somewhere. You got some dirty clothes in that place somewhere. If you want to work all day today and never talk to anybody, including Jesus, you can, and it's not going to go well. You have to prioritize rest, okay? Mark 4:36 says, and leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat just as he was. Okay, the guy didn't put on his pajamas, you know? He's in his dirty clothes. Who knows when they last showered? It's so real. It's so physical, you know? And then he was in the stern asleep on a cushion. Rest comes, we have to take it. Now we understand the day that he was in and what's waiting for him on the other side. And this is his only moment to rest. Is it any surprise then that this is his only... Has anyone ever tried to take some time off? I promise you, if I tell this beautiful woman right here who agreed to marry me 12 years ago, if I tell her, hey, this Saturday, I really want to go for a hike. You want to know what's going to happen on Saturday? All hell's going to break loose. Ticey will be sick. Someone we know will be calling us crying. You know, they shot themselves in the foot with a nail gun. I mean, something's going to take place. Something will happen to challenge me. Nick, are you really going to take this rest? See, the second thing we learn is that rest will likely be opposed. And we must rise up and fight for it. It's no stretch of the imagination. The Sea of Galilee is in a valley. And there are winds that come through there, but there's no stretch of the imagination to say that this squall that rises up so furiously that by the time they wake up Jesus, there is water in the boat, and they're not being hyper by saying, oh my gosh, we're going to die. They're not being hyper about that. They are about to die. Their boat is full of water. And I love it. Jesus is so physically tired that he's sleeping through that. Imagine dad of 2 young children at 10 p.m. You have to yell at him, wake up! So, when rest finally comes, you're going to have to rise up and fight for it. Now, I love this because we have in our English language and in all of these pictures, like Sunday school pictures of Jesus where he's white. By the way, he was Samaritan, so he was like pretty dark. He was Israeli. He was Jewish. So, we have this white Jesus standing up, peace, be still. And that's actually not what he said. He said, the Greek says, Simpao Fimuo. And he says, shut up, I bind you. Oh, yeah. So sometimes when wind and waves come up against you in your marriage and in your ministry and in your ability to rest. Now, you can try it tonight if you want to say, peace, be still. You can try that. But I like, shut up, I bind you in Jesus' name. Okay? The Greek first word means to silence against someone's will, and the second word's to muzzle them. Hey, you've got an enemy who hates your guts. What? I thought this was church. I thought this was about Jesus. It is. But if you're going to hang with Jesus, you got a whole bunch of people in the spirit world that don't like you. They're going to try to kill you. Take your rest. Take your marriage. Take your money. You're going to have to say, shut up, I bind you. And if you don't know that that's part of your story, you're not going to feel really good. Like, ever. Because it's never going to slow down. And you're just going to be like, ah, we retired. And we got into a beautiful place. And everything's happy. No! You're going to retire, and everything's going to fall apart, and people are going to be shooting at you. And your kids are going to be trying to follow the Lord, and they're going to fall away, and you got to fight. You got to rise up and fight. And the words he uses to his friends, he says, guys, it says they were fearful, but that word fearful is more like timid. It's right there on your message notes. It says the Greek word dilios, meaning timid. It says they were full of fear. He says, where's your faith? Where's your pistis? Which is the Greek word for conviction of the truth regarding the relationship between man and God. That's when I got saved this week. When I found out that word, I was like, whoa. Where's your conviction regarding your relationship with God and what he actually feels about you and the value he has over you and the fact that he's not going to let you just get swallowed up in this, and he's giving you the keys to the kingdom, and he's saying, stand up, rise up, don't be timid, tell this storm to shut up, I bind you in Jesus' name. We have to be spirit-led to understand when that's happening. We have to rise up and fight for it. Seal pow! For me, oh! I love that. I practiced that all morning. My kids were probably like, why is Daddy yelling in Greek again? I don't like this household. We're trying to watch Scooby-Doo. Seal pow! For me, oh! Shut up, Scooby! I bind you in Jesus' name. All the demons in your cartoon, I bind them. In Jesus' name. So when rest finally comes, it's going to be most likely opposed. You're going to have to fight for it, right? That's what Jesus was teaching us. That's what he's showing us in that scripture. We didn't realize it. But the last thing that the Lord showed me in this text was really, really tender to me. I don't know if I can talk about it without crying. Because you look at words that are repeated in scripture, crowds, crowds, crowds. The crowds gathered, he taught them in parables. The crowds crowded in on him, he got in the boat. The crowds were coming at him, the crowds, the crowds, the crowds, the crowds, the crowds, the crowds. And you know what? There's things that everyone thinks are the right thing to do that are popular, and you need to make more money, or you need to go chase this big thing. And it's really imperative, really, really important, actually, that we don't think that you are everybody else, because you're you. And God has specific assignments for you. And if I was trying to be efficient, let's wait on three. Let's wait on three. If I was trying to be efficient and take over like the Judaic kingdom and get everyone to believe in me, I, Nick Haywood, 2016 brain, I would have stayed where the crowds were. I'm getting the most bang for my buck. I'm preaching to 3,000 people in my little boat. That's where everyone wants to talk to me today. Let's go there, right? Supply and demand. No, the Holy Spirit's saying, I want you to cross the lake. I want you to cross the lake. There's someone over there I want you to talk to. I want you to cross the lake. He crosses the lake for a single person. He wastes his 4 hours of flight time and almost kills everybody he knows for a single dude who's naked and screaming at everybody because he cares that much for individual hearts. And the minute the demon-possessed man is healed, the whole crowd, the whole town finds out what happened, and they say, get out of here, dude. We don't like you. We don't know what you're about. We don't know how you did that. We're afraid. Get out of here. And he gets back in the boat, and he leaves the Gadarenes. There's no successful ministry in Gadara. There's no teaching there the following day. Matter of fact, now we're tired, wet, exhausted, hungry, a little bit freaked out about Jesus, you know, being in charge of everything, including demons and waves and winds, and we're getting back in the ship in the dark to cross the lake again. Thanks, Lord. Yeah, thanks. because now it's like 9 p.m. Let's just cross the lake again. This was really, you know, there was 3,000 people on the other side who wanted to listen to you, God. Hello? God, did you see that? What are you thinking? He sees these crowds. He knows how many people in that crowd are going to actually change their life for him. He knows he could scatter seed on that crowd. He knows and feels what hearts are real, which ones just are hyped up about it, which ones want something and don't even care who he is. And he knows there's someone who's been bound in chains and broken out of them, who for years and years and years has been tormented by hell, like you and like me. And he says, I care about that guy. Let's go risk our lives and go across the lake to get to him. See, the third thing we learn about guarding our time is that we have to listen for the specific assignments God has for you. I don't know why, but God said, go downtown. He cared. So we came. You know, we had this piece of land by the interstate, more visible, could have had a brand new building, seat more people. Numbers, numbers, numbers. 21st century thinking. Church is a big corporation. No, it's not. Jesus says, my church is you, my body. And he cares about individual hearts and individual assignments. And in your ministry or in your job or in anything else you're chasing in your life, if you chase what everyone else is chasing, you're going to be exhausted and you're not going to have enough time. But if you always listen to the Holy Spirit for specific assignments, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. It's really beautiful because I couldn't figure out why are these people so afraid. Other people get excited when Jesus heals a person or casts out demons. And then you realize, wait a minute. Jesus casts a legion of demons out of this man, and they go into a bunch of pigs who then, the demons, drive these pigs down into the lake. Are Jews allowed to be raising pigs? Oh, maybe they're kind of freaked out because God just came into their town and messed with all their sin and all their stuff. And they're like, ah, get away from us. We didn't think you were coming here today. Right? I was like, why? It's such a specific story. Why does everyone take the time to explain that the demons go into the pigs and the pigs all drown? Because you've been investing in some bad stuff you're not supposed to be doing. You've been trying to raise swine. And you know what? Part of God cleansing your life is letting the swine you've been raising go down into the water and die. You know? Thank you, Jesus. But then this tender, tender moment happens. Imagine being rejected by everyone and everything. Imagine being so out of your mind, you're just naked in a cave, screaming and cutting yourself all day. And then imagine God coming to you and freeing you of everything. Didn't say repent. Repentance is good, but he didn't tell this man to repent. He didn't say pray this prayer. He just totally healed him and released him of everything that hell had ever done that I'm sure he was responsible for, that he partnered with, I'm sure. And Jesus just wipes all that history away. And you know, I think I'd want to be with Jesus in his boat, you know, with him. After that. And it says that the man, when Jesus was getting into the boat in Mark 5, the man who had been possessed, past tense, begged him that he might be with him. He begged him, let me come with you. Let me come with you, Lord. And Jesus says, no, go home to your friends. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you. He restores him with right relationship with everyone he'd already cut off and broken everything from, being possessed. Tell them what the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And the man went on his way. I love this, because Jesus doesn't go back to that city. Everyone just ran him out. But the man goes on his way back to that city, to the 10 cities all around there, actually, and proclaims what Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for specific assignments. Lord, I repent for how I've chased bigger things. I repent for how I've put this society as a God in my life and what this society says I should have as something I should have in my life. And I repent for not waking up every morning and asking you what you have for me today. Please forgive me. I changed my mind. That's what I want today. I want to understand your assignments for me today. We want to understand what you have for us today. And Lord, I thank you that you found each of us to be a specific assignment. You found each of us to be a heart that you'd cross over dangerous waters to get to, and that you'd free us from all our demons and all our shame and all our excommunication, and that you would just reconcile us to our loved ones. And so we want to proclaim who you are in our life, in our Decapolis, in our 10 cities. We want to proclaim who you are, Jesus. We love you so much. We worship your holy name.
Amen. Well, I think you're preaching to me. Is this rich or what? I am more than grateful. By the way, you guys know that when Jesus came back through Decapolis later, he came back through that region, multitudes and multitudes came out because of the demoniac's testimony. And how many of you appreciate when the Lord says, when a person has poured the life of Jesus into you personally? In other words, when someone gives personal time to you and helps you, it means you're not just now a number, you're not just in a crowd, but the personal touch of investment. I think those are the... You never know who the Lord brings along and says, here's an assignment. Invest. But Lord, it feels they're not like me. Yeah, can you imagine the demoniac was not anything like Jesus? The Lord has been taking... I'm going to just take a minute here. Is that all right? When you obey the Lord, you never know where you're going to end up. You don't know who you're going to end up sharing God's love with. You don't know the character they're going to have or not have. You just don't know. For the most part, there's a real small percentage of you that haven't been with us a long time. But I know the majority of you that have walked for the last 15 to 20 years. Isn't that amazing? And I know you. I know Ray McMullen. I know Lisa McMullen. I know what they're going to do. They're going to walk with Jesus until all the way to the end. They're not going to deviate from the course. That's not who they are. We've been in the trenches together. They know all my ugly stuff, and I can't remember any of theirs. And they don't remember any of mine. We stand together. We support one another. Isn't that right? There are more people that the Lord will say, here's an assignment. And that is that assignment of that person in your life is going to cause a whole bunch of people that you would never have met to be impacted. Because the investment of your life will go into their life, and that seed will grow. And the way that you walked before the Lord, we have several testimonies like this, where people hung out with us a little bit, and we didn't know what was going on in their heart. But then later they had made this commitment. When I decide to walk with the Lord, I'm going to do it the way they did it. And then something awakens up down the road. And they swing back in. And everything, God downloads everything they need. Isn't it amazing? And it's because there's a knitting together of people who know Jesus is not only our Savior, but He's Lord over everything, and He has dominion, and He's our healer, and He's our deliverer, and He's our provider. And we walk through and watch Him do these things together. Amen. Go ahead and, if you would, take the hand of somebody next to you there. I know it's going to pray this. Father, just in this getting back and hearing this word and being with the family of God's people that you have put me with and put them with me, we just relish the genius of God here. And we want to go ahead and praise you in advance for the season ahead. We don't know what it looks like. We don't know what it's going to take. But Lord, I'm a whole lot more well-rested from having been in the boat, so to speak. And I just declare the lordship of Jesus over every demonic situation. And I pray, Father, for the power of your love to explode things and to open up a way before us, that more people would encounter your healing grace as never before. Let's just praise him a little bit here. Praise you, Lord. Bless the Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. And Lord, right now, those that are making some decisions, they're at a new chapter in their life, and it could go either way. I pray, Lord, that they would make the choices by your insight and your gifting them, your empowering them to that the next pages will be closer to Jesus' pages. That the next things written in the story will be how I sought the Lord and he helped me and turned me and changed and everything started changing, and not be another chapter of wandering around and losing out, but a chapter of seeking and finding and establishing in a new day. And so we, Lord, we pray for that. We pray for each person here. And every demonic hindrance that's against them, we come against now together. We say, let those things fall by the wayside. Let the ghosts and specters of fears of the past be whisked away by the breath of the Spirit. Guys, I want to just go ahead and prophesy something. Lord, I thank you for the wind of the Holy Spirit that's going to come and settle on this region. I thank you for the breath of God. I thank you for the move of God that's coming to this area. We want to be an outpost where the supernatural work of the grace of Jesus, where you knock people over and they spend 4 hours in the Spirit being healed and delivered, maybe on the floor crying out to you. We just open up to being a place where you can do the things that you love to do to heal people, where people step out of, there's maybe somebody right here right now today that you're going to step out of an attitude that you had because you're realizing right now it's not the Lord's attitude for your life. You're going to change your mind today and have a like-mindedness of Jesus, a spirit of lowliness and humility, and step out of something that you've been striving with. Well, this is, be like me. You're going to walk out of things that have been against you. Don't be like them. Be like me, he's saying. Step out of that. Let's praise the Lord, guys. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. As we're just here now, Lord, let a greater mantle of your love, a greater mantle anointing and impartation of your life come and rest on us as a corporate group. Let there come a greater weight of what you're doing. We open to that. As a people, we say, mantle us with the Spirit of the Lord as never before. As we walk into these days ahead, let us be stronger in the Lord than we've ever been. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.